Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
B.
Yes.
Could you point out the Czech Republic on a map?
No.
That's sad, because we're from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, the American Czech capital of the world, I believe. Do we got to get to Prague?
No.
A little too similar to Croatia.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we just talked about this place.
Oh, cool old castles and brick paved roads. Switch it like
up.
We get it. You guys have old culture. Like, go to Vancouver or Juneau, Alaska. Something crazy.
Let's go welcome somewhere fun.
Yeah, let's go somewhere fun. Welcome to the Rosecast. Bachelor Recaps with Rim and AB is the official long-form title if you're searching in a podcast app on, say, maybe Apple Podcasts or perhaps Google Play. Not Stitcher, though. Stitcher's garbage. How the Mighty Have Fallen, my opinion on that. I got takes if you want to go deep on Stitcher one day. Rim and AB, recapping Emily Maynard's season of The Bachelorette, Season 8. We're more than halfway through getting to know Ari, the next bachelor, and we got to know some things about him this episode, AB. I tell you what, the sheen is off the guy. I gotta say, AB, we start in Prague. One thing I want to mention: one of our biggest complaints about recent seasons has been that they start episodes with rose ceremonies.
Yeah.
This season is the old school traditional structure, and I appreciate the shit out of that. Rose ceremonies at the end of the episode.
You couldn't have said it better. Love the traditional format of The Bachelor and Bachelorette. And I'm tired of these new seasons getting away from it.
It's a shame. I'd say probably half the episodes of Rachel's season started with a rose ceremony.
Yeah.
Why are you popping there? Why letting the air out of the, you know what I'm saying, with the balloon?
Yeah.
Anyway, Emily said, last week I didn't send anyone home, referring to the rose ceremony in which everyone got roses. She definitely still sent people home. She sent two people home.
He sent a lot of people home.
The most embarrassing way to send someone home, by the way. You don't get a rose on a rose ceremony. You just kind of slink off to the side. Everything's fine. Getting sent home because you suck so bad on a date is embarrassing, Emily.
Especially a one-on-one date.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sad. All right. Chris Harrison makes the announcement. We got 3 one-on-one dates, none of which have roses, and one group date with a rose. Never seen this setup before.
I like it, though. Like he said, it takes the pressure off the date, even though she can still send your dumb bitch ass home, but it takes the pressure off the date.
The first
when in reality, now that I've just said that, it shouldn't take the pressure off the date. Basically, you only can do bad. Like, the only thing that could happen, you're never safe with
there's
these
no
one-on-one
upside.
Dates.
There's no upside.
There's no rose. So this is worse than the ones with the rose for the actual contestant, because actually the pressure is worse.
I wrote this down, and later I mentioned that Chris was all mad about, not Chris Harrison, but contestant Chris was all mad about getting the group date. At least on the group date, you have a chance to get the lock up the rose.
Yeah.
So a day early, so you know you're going to meet the family. That's better than the one-on-one date.
I hadn't thought about this until we started talking, but going on those one-on-ones is terrible.
Terrible.
You can't get a rose, and you can get sent home.
All right, AB. first one-on-one date with Ari. They're just having a little, they're had a nice little time in Prague, you know, typical Ari stuff. They're getting along. She's kissing him. They're having a good time. Mm-hmm. But the secret comes out, and we alluded to it last episode. Emily knows something about Ari that he's not telling her. We're speaking, of course, about the secret, scandalous, Us Weekly front page, front cover, New York Times back page, page two, relationship with the producer that Ari had and had not told Emily about.
Do you get the feeling that they weren't going to address this on the show until it became public knowledge, based on how Chris Harrison started the show like a PSA?
Yeah. No, I get that feeling for sure. And I think that is, I think it's probably because, like, there were magazines. They were, like, out and about, and there might have been, like, you know, she might have seen some magazines in the airport that was, like, Ari's with the producer currently. But yeah, like you said, Chris Harrison did kind of have a PSA. He basically detailed the past relationship with the producer. Said, some time ago, several years ago, in fact, Ari had a very brief... It was weird. Like,
yeah.
I thought they were going to play it up, but instead he was trying to play it down. He was like, mm-hmm. It was very brief with one of our producers. And then they went full name on her ass and face.
Yeah,
I didn't write her full name down.
That's kind of fucked up. It's Cassie Lambert.
Yeah, I didn't write her last name down just out of respect for the woman.
I'll say it. Cassie Lambert.
Cassie Lambert. Cassie told Emily on her own. And then, you know, they did this little bit where they showed Cassie and Emily talking. And Cassie and Emily, I would have thought they were old pals from childhood, the way these two got along. Mm-hmm. So Emily's mad at Ari that Ari hasn't said anything, but I'd be mad at Cassie also, because you two have been chit-chatting the whole time and it hadn't come up.
Yeah, I kind of get the feeling Cassie's like the main producer that's around Emily based on how they're talking.
I mean, I feel like these shows have a lot of producers, but... If there's she's one, the one in control of Emily,
I feel like there's one that is has a real close relationship to the Bachelor, Bachelorette, like make sure they're getting places, have whatever they want. Yeah. And that's her.
Cassie.
Come on.
But she said in 10 years, now Ari's 31 at the time. So in 10 years, she said, I've seen him twice. So this relationship had to have occurred like in college, if Ari even went to college. College age for sure.
Yeah, when he's 21 or something.
I think the producer, now when Ari got the date card, I was like, well, why did she give Ari the date card if she knew this secret about him? I think the producer told Emily after she already picked Ari for the one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
And then apparently Emily had discussed Cassie with Ari before, which is kind of weird. Why are you discussing the producer? This doesn't pass the smell test if you can't tell by my tone. But Ari didn't say anything about knowing her, which makes Emily suspicious. She feels like an idiot. AB, I want to know your stance on this. Should Ari have felt obligated to tell Emily about Cassie?
I think he should have. Yeah. Especially, it seems like this Cassie girl was probably around both of them at multiple times, and he could have downplayed it by bringing it up earlier. Instead, by not bringing it up, it makes it seem like it's a bigger deal. Like, it clearly wasn't that. If it was 10 years ago, it shouldn't be that big a deal. But by you not bringing it up and ignoring it, that makes it 10 times worse.
I don't know. I think I'm probably on Emily's side, where she said he didn't have to, like, you don't have to come with, like, a resume of everyone you've ever dated. But if Emily's talking about this girl, the Cassie, this woman, and he's like, he doesn't say anything when he obviously knows who it is, like, that's just weird. Like, why wouldn't you just say something?
Yeah. Anyway,
back on the date, I don't think this makes Ari a scumbag. I just want to make that clear. I just think he was just dumb in forgetting to, like, it was a lack of foresight.
Yes. Yeah,
obviously, this is going to play out this way. Back in the day, Emily gives Ari some rope with which to hang himself. She lets Ari go on this long speech about trust. He says something about being open with everything, not having any secrets, and then they make it sound like he's going to reveal the big secret, but really he just has the tattoo of the name of the girl he used to date.
The best part about this was Emily had it in her mind what she was waiting for Ari to say. And Ari kept saying stuff about loyalty and stuff. And then she'd be like, yeah, I bet. Loyal. Mm-hmm. But he had no clue because he had no idea what was going on. But she kept saying little comments on the side.
My thing was, Emily, just ask him. Just ask him about it. Why do we? What game are we playing here? Just ask him about it.
She's playing games. She has a right to be a little upset about it, but she should have handled it better in terms of how she talked to Ari.
I guess that wouldn't have been as dramatic, though. The producer was probably like, don't come out and ask him about it. Like, lead him into a trap.
Yeah.
Like, this whole shit is messed up. Yeah.
Hey, what about how Chris comes out after the fact and is like, they talked about it, but we didn't get it on camera. Like, what the fuck are you, what do you mean you didn't get it on camera, Chris? Give me the name of who got fired then.
Should have fired Cassie. How is the producer going to have the juiciest moment of the season off camera?
What the hell's going on here?
I was very...
Unacceptable.
Again, doesn't pass the smell test.
No, why would the shit not be on camera? Something's off here.
Yeah, I don't buy it. But anyway, basically everything's fine. is what we gleaned from this scenario. Ari told Emily that he felt the relationship was so brief and took place so long ago that it didn't matter. And Emily agreed. Bing, bang, boom. Nothing to see here.
Are these people having conversations not on camera? Because that's not what I signed up for.
No, I signed up for everything.
This guy has me thinking there's some moments I'm not catching with all the seasons.
You're poking holes in your own
gravitas,
I'll say. Like, okay, things are going down that we don't see and you're okay with.
Full disclosure,
we're messing around back behind the scenes.
All of us, Bachelor and Bachelorette Nation, are here for reality TV, and we want to feel like everything is being caught on camera. The only thing being left off the show is stuff that isn't entertaining.
Period. That's
Period.
It. Like,
that's what we're here for.
Reality TV lost its roots somewhere along the way, AB. In the old days when reality shows first came out, that what you just described is what we got.
Keep the goddamn cameras rolling.
Keep.
Period.
All right, back at the house. Let me pull that up here. Chris's fury is quickly growing. The date card goes to John, which I was mildly surprised by, and Chris is really losing his cool. It's killing him inside.
I would say he's livid.
I said incensed later on. I definitely hit up thesaurus.com to figure out how to describe the way Chris is feeling. Back on the date, though, Emily's talking about what outfit she's going to wear when she meets Ari's family. Everything is fine, AB. It's like the thing didn't even happen.
I mean, it was pretty clear that Sean, Ari, and Jeff were getting three of the roses. It came down to two people. She didn't mess around with making it seem like any of those three were going home either.
I appreciate that about her. She really does say in her confessional interviews, like, well, this guy's probably going home. It's between these two. Like, she didn't leave us guessing.
Yeah.
Ari tells Emily that he loves her.
Wow. AB.
The first I love you of the season. Pretty clear that Emily's head over heels for this guy. Followed by fireworks, of course. Most romantic shit I've ever seen in quite some time. AB, were you surprised by the love? I mean, Ari's following the traditional trajectory of the winner.
But also, Ari had to get out of the doghouse. And it worked like a charm.
Yeah. I mean, he would have been out of the doghouse regardless.
Yeah.
But this was like, he hit the ejector seat from the doghouse and ended up miles away from the doghouse. All right, let's go to this John one-on-one date. Do you want to talk about this date? I mean, this is boring. This was boring to me.
No, I've never had less notes on a date.
My biggest note on this date was like, John's a pretty good-looking guy. John's a good dude. I like John.
John. Wolf seems like a good guy. A guy I'd hang out with.
I guess the one thing from the daytime portion of the state is they did this love lock, love lockdown, dung 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 dung, and then they couldn't get the padlock to go. Well, what do you know? Like, it doesn't bode well. It's a bad sign. Anyway, whatever. Who cares? back at the house again. Chris, still steaming mad.
I'm on the verge of a mental breakdown here, Rim.
Mental breakdown. Existential breakdown. What's this even about, man? Like, what's going on? He said, I'm tired of doing this. Like, the boys are just hanging out, like, analyzing shit. Jeff and Ari, like, they're known to do, like, spot-on analysis of the other contestants. And they're like, Jeff turns to Chris, and he's like, Jeff, what's going on, man? You seem off today. He's like, I'm tired of doing this. Tired of talking about it. And then he turns to drinking, which is a bad, which doesn't bode well for the future of Chris. That's all I got on that. Basically, every back at the house is like, Chris is getting angrier.
It's getting worse and worse.
Back to the date, the nighttime portion with John. They're eating dinner in a dungeon. I mean, he's lucky there's no rose on this date because he wouldn't be getting it.
No. He says he got cheated on. That was the one thing I wrote down, I guess.
Now, to me, that story should have come before. Like, that's a less touching, more common story. Like, the pyramid of stories he should have told, that should be at the base. And then, like, the tippy top of the pyramid is the one about his grandparents from last week. He says he's falling for Emily, but...
A little too late.
Yeah. When you're falling for her, you're going to hit Ari, Jeff, and Sean on the way down, because those boys are already at the bottom.
The interesting thing about this date is Wolf, for some reason, thought it was a really good day. He kept saying that throughout the episode. I'm like, okay, this is just a normal ass date. Nothing stood out. You didn't do anything cool, and you're probably going home. I don't know why you think this was such a good date. You're on the hot seat.
Was that their first kiss? I don't remember.
They've had other kisses.
Okay. Yeah. What's bizarre about this show, it's more the way my brain works. I'll watch this show and I'll remember everything about it until we record, and then once we're done recording, all of it is gone from my mind. Every week we get something wrong and someone hits us up on the text line or the Twitter, RoseCastDS, and they're like, oh, it actually wasn't Olivia in Ben's room, it was Lacey or whatever. I'm like, you know, all this stuff, this information is gone when I'm done talking about it.
Not for me.
John, okay.
speak for yourself. I got it all up here. Sometimes I just don't catch your blunders. I'm thinking about blunders. Other stuff.
Yeah, a lot of, always one step ahead. John said that when he comes back to the house, which I'm, like I said, keep wanting more, he says the date was a 10.
Come on, a 10? Get out of here. She's met Dolly Parton this season. There was, what was the dude's name? What was that big time singer? I forgot his name.
Jason, no.
No.
God dang, who was that guy?
Luke Bryan. Yeah, it's Luke Bryan. Hey, Luke Bryan and Dolly Parton on dates. You think you had a 10 of 10 because you went and did a lock gimmick and then had a dinner?
Didn't work. Yeah. John, nice guy, dumb guy. The date card for the group of three date, Sean, Doug, and Chris, obviously. Sean decides to chase down Emily somewhere in Prague, even though he has no idea where she is. I thought this was dumb as hell.
This was fake as shit, Rim.
It was the fakest thing I've ever seen.
You ever seen something faker? He catches up to Emily eventually, just randomly, in an alley. You think Emily's walking home from their place? Emily's walking from the hotel by herself?
They're staying in the same hotel. Number one, they're staying in the same hotel. She's not outside anymore.
They played it up like she walks home from these dates by herself with no
camera,
nobody around. In a date, it's like midnight in an alley is where he found her by herself.
The alley.
You want us to believe that
it was lit? She was like lit from behind, so it was just her silhouette when he stumbled upon her. She's the only one in there. There wasn't any like homeless people in Prague like asking for money. It was just this beautiful scene. Emily, Sean. It was bad. That was bad. That was dumb. It's, again, insult to our intelligence when they do stuff like that.
I hated this for two reasons. One, it was fake as shit. Two, can everyone just get their own one-on-ones whenever they please? Because after he caught up to her, they just did they went to a bar and hung out for another couple hours. Like, can we follow the rules here? This isn't fair. This is not fair what's going on.
It's agreed. I don't mind that these occasionally happen where the guy or girl escapes and goes to meet the person, but there needs to be a line that you can't cross, which is you can't go to a bar. Emily needs to be like, you need to get back. You're breaking the rules. And that should be like, you know.
secret.
The scandalous
yeah.
part of it, yeah.
They just went on a normal, they went on a better one-on-one date than John just got back from.
Dumb. Sean, while this was happening, you know, we're pro Sean guys. He's cool, great
love
body,
Sean.
Great smile, kind of a funny, the only
good
bachelor person I follow on Twitter from my personal account. I'm a Sean guy.
Yep.
That said, you opened my eyes to something either last week or the week before. The guy really is dumb. Like, he's dumb as it gets. There's nothing. There's just not much there. He catches up to her, and he's got nothing to say. He's just like,
he didn't have anything. You gotta have a predetermined line that you're ready to spit out when he's up to her.
He's like, how's it going? Well, good. I mean,
is that all you're coming with?
Just wanted to see you. All right, whatever. Sean, two thumbs down on that segment.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Group date, daytime. Chris's attitude is going to prevent him from getting this rose. That's what I wrote down. I called that. It was pretty clear. I said it's Sean's. Now reading back my notes, young savant. I said it's Sean's rose, obviously, and Doug might as well not be there, is what I said. Let's talk a little bit about this one-on-one time Doug had.
Makes me clench up.
Skin crawl. Never,
it's a skin crawling 10 minutes with Doug.
Oh man.
Cannot even handle what happened during this one on one.
It was really bad.
I feel so bad for
I mean, there was some sympathy I started to feel at the end, but after it was over. But AB, I could not watch parts of this. I'm not kidding.
I had to cover my eyes to watch what was happening. It was so cringeworthy.
I was watching it on this screen, and then when this thing started to get weird, I kept the head. I was listening to the audio, but I had to like do something else.
You gotta look away.
Watch. Let's go down the things he did in order.
Yes.
Doug, number one, Doug, scared to be physical, not just to be physically affectionate with Emily, but to make any contact with her at all.
He apologized for touching her leg with his leg, not even his
hand.
Their
knees touched. Their knees bumped. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Doug, the fucking prude. Is this 31-year-old man serious right now?
I thought he was older than that. I thought he was a lot older than that.
Maybe he is.
Emily basically, another thing that was bad is it was glossed over in the moment. Emily basically asks him how things would be if he won. And he was like, well, you know, we'd just be starting out, which is not how you win. That's how you dig your own grave.
She wants kids pretty soon after the finale is taped, Doug.
Yeah.
You're not going to be just starting out.
She wants to be pregnant at the final rose ceremony. I'll put it that way. And exactly. whoever's the daddy gets the final rose. That's what I'm predicting. In order to have kids, they'd be the first base, if you will. I don't know the bases. Would be kissing, right? I mean, I feel like he needs to get to that point first. I was writing a note about how concerned I was and how Doug needs to go home because he hasn't even kissed her yet. And then she was just dropped my pen. I'm so flustered. She was telling Doug why he's going to have to get out of here when he kissed her while she was talking, AB. Little
unreal. Have you ever seen someone read a situation worse than Doug read that situation? She's clearly sending your dumb ass home.
Yeah.
And you kiss her for the first time, first kiss. And she responded with a thank you for that.
Yeah, well, because she's nice.
Yeah.
She's just being nice. I had to, that's when I had to pause it for real.
It's bad.
Get up, walk around. And then when I unpaused it, I couldn't watch it. She sends him home. What was weird is he couldn't even muster up a thoughtful goodbye. It, like, he reverted back to being weird, dorky dad. He's like, take care, see ya. It wasn't like, I hope, you know, you find what you love, what you're looking for type of stuff. It's nothing.
Well, this scarred Doug for life. Doug is obviously a very, you know, shy guy. He's an introvert. And this happened to him when he finally stepped forward to assert himself in the situation. And that was what happened. He went with that kiss. He's never recovered from that.
No. No, he's never going to kiss anyone else.
He's even farther in his shell to this day, I assume.
Yeah. He said, I think my girl radar is just totally broken.
Yeah,
well,
you think?
Considering you're 37 and you call it a girl radar, I'd say something's broken for sure. It was too much. And then when he was crying in the car, it was too much. It's one thing when, like, these younger dudes crying.
Yeah.
That's a grown man with, like, a 14-year-old daughter bawling in the car. Not because he's going to miss Emily or he missed his chance, but because of the amount of embarrassment he just suffered was too
so
much
embarrassing.
To bear. Anyway, let's move on. Let's move on. The nighttime portion.
I'm about to puke. Just
yeah,
thinking
it's not good.
My stomach's in knots thinking about poor Doug.
My hands are sweaty for sure. Group date, nighttime portion. Basically turned into a 2-on-1 date.
Mm-hmm.
Not with the negative stakes involved of not getting a rose, but it's just two dudes and one of them gets the rose.
Yep.
I kind of zoned out during this part. I know her and Sean made out. Tough to see the same thing happen with Chris, I suppose, but wasn't really into this. What did you make of how Chris approached Emily moments after she was romantically kissing Sean in this castle?
Chris comes at her all wrong. He asks her why he didn't get a rose. Well, I don't know. There's five people here. Everyone can't get a rose. There's six, seven people here. Everyone can't get a one-on-one.
No, he didn't get a one-on-one because
he asked why he didn't get a one-on-one. He said he thought he'd get one with this week, but he handled it bad. Thought he handled it bad.
He's a deadly combo of immature while simultaneously thinking he's very mature. It's one thing to just be an immature guy, but to be immature and be like, I'm the manliest man here. It's like, all right, like, this is gonna work out for you.
Relax.
He's just overreacting. It was typical of Chris. He's overreacting. Starting something where there was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Says, well, I'm not going to dwell on it when literally his entire, the past month of his life has revolved around being angry. Yeah. All he does is dwell. Emily gives Sean the rose and Chris incensed.
Whoa, mad.
He's about to Hulk out. I mean, he looked like when he was like crying in the confessional interviews, his eyes were all red. He looked like right when Kylo Ren like gets the saber out and he's got his face turned down and he's ready to kill somebody. That's what he looked like.
He says it's insulting hearing her say she wants to see Sean's family and not his. I mean, he got a rude awakening that he's not one of the front runners this episode. I think that's what he's starting to realize, and it hit him like a ton of bricks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. To me, I think he should have just gone home at this point and left on his own terms, because maybe he'll sneak into the top four, but he's not going to win. I mean, if you're basically on a 2-on-1 date this late into the season with five guys left,
and one's ahead of you,
you're definitely not the top two guys. There's another guy who's already got a rose, and if you don't get the rose on the 2-on-1, you might as well just see your way out. It's not gonna happen.
I agree.
Let's talk a little bit about this Jeff date. Jeff got the date card. We forgot to mention. Wasn't super into this date. Too much puppetry for my liking.
I didn't mind it. I wrote down, we need to get into puppetry.
Okay. No, I think I'm going to pass on the marionettes, AB. he did pull a smooth-ass move, though, when they each got a marionette that kind of represented them, and then he walked out with her, and then he went back to pick up one, and he was like, we got to have one for Ricky. Couldn't leave Ricky hanging, which is funny because marionettes hang. It was a smooth...
It was very smooth.
Smooth gesture. what I found bizarre, and I don't know if you noticed this, Jeff, they're doing a little marionette play, which is too long. It was like 10 minutes of marionette play. Jeff uses that moment to tell Emily he loves her, right? Mm-hmm. Jeff's marionette loves Emily's marionette is what happened.
This is what Jeff's good at, though, Rim. He's just sticking with the mysterious angle. Like, she doesn't actually know if he told her he loves her or if it was just part of the play that they were putting on. It's just mysterious Jeff keeping her wanting more.
Okay. I like that angle of thought. Because when they kissed in real life, not their marionettes, he said, I really like you. And then didn't say I love you to her.
No.
Person to person.
Not even close.
Yeah. Weird.
That moment where they're laying on the blanket in the beautiful library, the most beautiful library I've ever seen. That's a moment in Bachelor history that I'll never forget. Because that's when I thought about redoing this season, rewatching it. That was one of the moments that I remembered. I didn't remember all that much. But this library moment where they're laying on the ground, that sticks with me.
It was iconic. And it seemed so natural. These two could just chit-chat. There, and even Jeff said this. He's like, no matter where we're at, we can just have a good time with one another. I think... Well, it's a little tough to go back because knowing what we know now, knowing what we know was going on behind the scenes with these two, I can see this seemed like a real moment that they were actually falling in love. I think Emily was certainly in love with Jeff at this point. And yet he's number two on the list of contenders. That's how far Ari was taking it to the limit. Cocktail party. Or is it, AB? Got five guys left. Chris and John on the chopping block. Everybody knows it. I thought when Emily pulled Chris Harrison aside and wanted to talk to him, I thought she was going to say, let's send both of them home.
Yeah.
Only give me two roses and only have three hometowns. But instead, she decides against having the cocktail party, which is kind of a common practice these days to just cancel the cocktail party late in the game.
Yep. When you got your opinions or you got your decision already made. What's the point?
Well, you don't need a cocktail party. No one is going to change your mind about visiting their families at this cocktail party.
Yeah.
You're not on. It's not. Again, we're getting down to the Final Four. It's like the college football playoff again. It's not like Ohio State won the Big Ten championship and it still didn't make a difference. Like they already had Alabama in their mind is what was going on at me for college football takes. Chris kind of hyperventilates when he finds out that there's no cocktail party. No, he can't say what he wants to say to Emily and basically apologize for being a weirdo. You got anything on his breakdown, his third breakdown of the episode?
He's super jittery. He's obviously sweaty. Ugh, he's in a bad spot right now.
When they're up there waiting to get the roses, I mean, he's like shaking.
Yeah, he's bouncing up and down.
Convulsions. And he's right next to Jeff, who's also on the chopping block. Jeff is calm as cool as a cucumber.
Absolutely.
Probably too confident, but still not freaking out either way. Never seen someone freak out quite like this at the rose ceremony. The roses go to Jeff, and they go to Ari. Sean already has one from his group date. And that's when Chris asks Emily, interrupts her. Ask her, talk to her right before she gives out the last rose. Tensions are high, AB.
Mm-hmm.
What did you make of what he said to Emily? His pseudo apology.
I thought it was bullshit, Rim. My man John can he get his time too? Can we? This goes back to, can we play by the rules?
Equal
you can't
time.
Just pull her aside. Equal time for everybody, please. Let's keep it fair. John got. I mean, how could she send Chris home after that talk if she didn't get the same talk with John?
Well, I don't think she could have sent him home just for everyone's safety or in Chris's own safety. Like, Chris seems like he was going to ready to jump in front of a car if he didn't get a rose, hop into traffic. But what did you make of the actual content of what he said? I mean, he said he was acting like a boy. He apologized. And then he said, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't falling in love with you. Come on. Quite literally in the middle of a rose ceremony, he could be breaks. I'm falling in love with you.
This is bullshit.
It made me hate Chris.
Yeah. I don't like Chris anymore. Never really did, but
no,
it's solidified it here.
Final rose. Chris gets it. Not a big fan. John handled it with some class, I suppose. He didn't wish her the best. He was like, I'm pissed. And then he walked out. I can't believe
he didn't get time.
He didn't get any time. It was bullshit. Well, he shouldn't have rested on his laurels. Maybe he should have done what Sean and Chris did and do something wacky to get her attention, because he had his date and he was like, boom, killed that date. I'm going to hometowns. Like, he didn't do anything else.
Coast to hometowns, baby.
I can't believe Chris is getting a hometown. She should have just given him to those three guys. I mean, Chris doesn't deserve one. I think she's going to break up with him before. They're going to get to his hometown, and he's going to be like, she's going to say, I don't really want to meet your family. I don't want to take this step.
Have you ever seen a more obvious who's going home after this hometown?
No.
Ever in your life?
No. Even if I didn't know how this show ended, it's so blatant. I mean, we know Ari doesn't win, and we know that Sean was the next Bachelor. So, I mean, obviously Chris is going home next episode, the least exciting episode of the season, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, AB, you got anything else on this? Any other tidbits you wanted to share with the clan, Rosecast Nation?
I don't think so.
Mind talking on the mic when you...
I don't think so.
All right. We do have one mailbag comment that I want to share with you.
Good.
This is from Laura in Los Angeles, but she was born and raised in Iowa City, so go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
Quick reminder, the text line 773-234-7794. We'll probably open it back up for voicemails when Ari's season comes around.
Mm-hmm.
Laura in Los Angeles says, no mention about cool guy Jeff last episode, which is kind of crazy. We literally didn't even mention his name. He wasn't on screen a lot. But what she did notice is that Jeff kind of was way ahead of the game style-wise, and that he has the haircut that all the dudes in the last two seasons have had, essentially. The one that we roast with the hard part and the shaved sides and the long on top.
Alt-right one now?
Yeah, it's the alt-right.
The official haircut of the alt-right? Yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's out of style at this point. But thanks for sharing your thoughts, Laura. You're right. I pay more attention to what Jeff wears now, because he really... All the guys wear these whack-ass clothes, except Jeff's... Jeff's style game isn't my personal style, but he's definitely, I think, ahead of the curve.
He's ahead. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's all we got for you today. That was episode 7, I believe. We're going to recap 8, 9, and 10. I don't think we're going to talk about the men tell all or anything like that. So 3 or 4 more recaps left. We're going to go on a break for Christmas time or whatever year-end holiday you celebrate. And then we'll be back January 3rd to recap Ari's season. If you haven't already, please subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, wherever you get podcasts, Overcast, people like Overcasts. Wherever you get it. AB, any parting words? We appreciate you listening.
No, thanks for taking the journey with us.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping
and 365-day returns.